Hey everybody, it's Emily here to talk to you about Adam and Eve. Spring is in the air, but is it in your step? Is it in your bed? If you're interested in better sex starting now, go to adamandeve.com. They've got toys, lingerie, accessories, everything you need to level up your pleasure checks. And right now, Adam and Eve is offering 50% off just about any item. Plus, free shipping, which includes rush processing. That's discreet shipping, plus 100% free shipping with rush processing on your entire order. Doesn't matter how much you spend or what you buy, all will be packaged and sent discreetly, free and fast. So just go to adamandeve.com and select any one item. It could be an adventurous new toy or anything you desire. Just enter offer code PAWPAW at checkout. That's PAWPAW, P-A-W-P-A-W at adamandeve.com. This is an exclusive offer specific to this podcast, so be sure to use code PAWPAW to get your discount, 100% free shipping, and get it fast with rush processing. Code P-A-W-P-A-W. Goodbye, sweeties.
This is a HeadGum Podcast.
Dungeon. Welcome to Dungeon Chords.
Dun-dun.
Don't need to do it, but it feels good.
I just
want
to do the mix back thing.
Right, we've got the theme song, but we still like to do it.
Feels good on my tongue.
The Honorable Crit Justice Murphy, joined, of course, by Crit Justice Axford Tanner, and the returning Bailiff Jake.
Yes!
Oh, there he is down there. I see him.
Hey, come on.
Wow, they got you being bailiff on Labor Day?
Yeah, you know, you can't take a day off.
The law does not sleep.
So, shall I?
Yeah, launch back into it.
Can you give us a hear ye, hear ye?
I'm sorry.
Ye?
You feeling rusty, dude?
I just got back from vacation.
No.
I can do it. I got it. Hear ye, hear ye. Crit is now in session. The Honorable Supreme Crit Justices Axford, Murphy, and Tanner presiding. Didn't quite stick the landing, but I started strong. All right, our first case comes from Sarah B. They write, "May it please the court and disgruntle the bailiff." Nice. Wow. I present the case of the flavorful ravens. The party I GM for arrived at a new town, which I described as being covered in ravens. Every surface was covered in them purely for flavor. They had no real meaning. The party made a big deal about how every surface must be covered in bird poop, and one player shouted, "Bullshit," when I started making up something about the ravens being magical. I gave in and said the town was inches deep in poop, and we moved on.
That's such a beautiful sentence. I gave in and said the town was inches deep in poop. Just like a DM being like, fine, you're fucking trudging through shit.
There's shit everywhere.
Yeah,
are you
that's
happy?
What you wanted, right? You wanted to be covered in shit, sure.
Make them smoke the whole pack.
Later, they attended a banquet at the town hall, and I had them roll constitution against psittacosis, a disease that you can get from eating / inhaling bird poop. Uproar ensued, and I was accused of taking out my frustration at being caught out on my PCs. Justices of the court, I ask you this. Did I go too far in the name of the realism that the party asked for? Was I too salty, or did they deserve their dastardly disease?
Things taste better with a little bit of salt, and I think that was the right dose of salt.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think if you're making them make, like, constant psittacosis checks, then that's not fun. But, like, one round of checks because they wanted the world to be covered in ravens.
Yeah.
I think that's a fair trade-off.
They made their bed. They covered it in bird shit. Now they got to roll around in it. That's how it works. It's instead of talk shit, get hit, it's talk shit, huff shit. Yeah. Huff shit, eat shit. Get all of the shit side effects. But also, it was really funny the way the wording of, like, this town is covered in ravens. It was that, right? Or it was like on every surface. It just does sound like truly so many ravens.
That really, though, it's so funny that your players went in on that because, like, that feels like such a fantasy trope that I wouldn't even think.
But covered, just the wording, even in their question, I think I understand why the players went there. Well, they went like, this is insane. Because if you're like, you walk into this fucking tavern, there are ravens fucking everywhere. There's, like, you try to sit on the table. There's fucking ravens there.
Have you never thrown out bread for a bird in New York City? You can have, like, a covering of birds.
Yeah, you can have a bird carpet.
That's true.
Yeah, it's just, you can have a bird carpet.
It's just
for sure.
Really funny to think of a town just absolutely covered in ravens. Just ravens every
inch. Absolutely makes me, when we say bird carpet, I'm just picturing like a feather carpet of like real bird feathers and just like how hard.
This is why a lesson for all the DMs out there, never ever use a literary device.
Yeah, never say
use
anything.
Hyperbole. Don't use a simile ever, because your players will just gobble it up and make you look the fool.
Yeah. I think, you know, as someone who is made completely of salt, I am on your side, of course. Anytime.
Oh, yeah.
As someone who loves a man made completely of salt, I do like salt.
Yeah, Murph is
I
a
like
salt homunculus.
I'm a salt elemental, yes.
a biblical pillar of salt.
Yeah.
This is the game at its best. It's tit for tat.
Yeah.
Your players want
us to shit.
You
get
asked
for
now,
it.
Yeah.
They yelled bullshit when you said it was
like
magic.
This
instead
is
of pigeon
banter.
Shit.
This
should have yelled
banter,
bird shit.
And this is why I play the game.
This is peak
is
banter.
To be able to push the DM and then get punished for it.
Absolutely. I love, because when I push Murph's buttons, all the salt comes out, and then that's when the fun happens.
Yeah.
Yep. And then that's when the omelet tastes good.
Yum, yeah. Yum.
Have you guys ever had eggs without salt on them? Fucking weird.
Yeah.
Fucking
probably, yeah.
Like flavorless.
Yeah, no, it's
no, yeah, they're
way
bad with that.
Absolutely way worse. Yeah. Mm-hmm. This is the equivalent of the DM being like, okay, if you go into this party, you're doing a stealth mission, so don't wear anything ostentatious or something like that. And then the player's like, I walk in and I've got a big twirly hat that has bells on it.
That's actually really good.
And then the DM's like bells on okay. The hat. Go ahead and roll a stealth check with disadvantage. And I live for that moment.
And the DCs ain't crazy high because your bells.
Oh, fucking bullshit, dude.
The guards fucking murder you.
Clearly, I cast momentary stasis on all of my bells.
That's smart. That's how you get away with the hat.
That adds up. I can't kill you now.
Fia casts momentary stasis on the dangle of a bell.
You use all four of your charges.
The bell keeps saving. How?
We can kind of only go off what the DM has said here, but the fact that they had to roll for this, I hope they only had to do it like once or a couple times, because if they just throw out the whole session to just have them all constantly rolling constitution checks is...
That's too salty, and that's like a health hazard.
Yeah.
Yeah. Although more so than psychotosis or psychosis. What I don't know.
Oh, okay. Yeah. All right, I'm looking it up. It's called parrot fever. Psychosis.
Oh, parrot fever? That's awesome.
Oh, my God.
Jimmy Buffett has that, I think.
Wait, tell me about it.
Okay, parrot fever. That was very good, Murph.
Murph, that was really good.
Hey, thank you so much, guys. Hey,
see?
We should go to Margaritaville.
I got parrot fever. It's a rare infection caused by chlamydia psychaticae, a specific type of bacteria. The infection is also known as parrot disease. That's
nice.
My Jimmy Buffett parody of him explaining what parrot fever is.
Parrot chlamydia. Nice. Nice. Murph and Emily are on fire.
What are we recording
what are
right
we
now?
Doing?
We got so
oh, yeah. No, this person needs to be
parrot dog that I completely forgot if we were doing a mixed bag or a short rest.
We're talking about parrot shit too much. What are we recording?
I'm fucking worried now. There are parrots. There are roving gangs of parrots in my neighborhood. They could be giving me psittacosis.
Whoa. What are the symptoms?
In people, the disease typically resembles the flu or pneumonia. Okay, symptoms usually begin approximately 10 days after exposure.
Whoa.
Uh-oh.
Whoa, so you just, all right.
See
players...
a parrot, and then, like, but 10 days later, you don't even know how you got it.
Yeah, but now your players, there's a basis for their anger. Because this isn't how psittacosis works.
Oh, but they could be failing the con checks. I'm going to defend the DM here. They could be doing the con checks in 10 days
to
get it.
And then they're going to wait 10 days, and they're going to have like two levels of exhaustion.
Oh, my God. It's so funny to fucking make, like, if they fail a con check and you just say, okay, you write something down, and you don't hear, oh, my God.
This is days from now, that's you wake up with four levels of exhaustion.
That's perfect fuckery. It's perfect.
You see a man. Is he there? Is he not there? He's wearing a Hawaiian shirt and he's holding a guitar.
You guys want to go on to the ruling phase? I'm going to rule in favor of this DM, obviously. Mm-hmm. The players, again, talk shit, huff shit. If you want the shit to be there, you got to live in shit now. That's dangerous.
I'm going to sentence the players to get food poisoning at a margarita.
Oh, God.
What? And you know what? They're not going to find out for 10 days that they got food poisoning.
They're not going to find out. Yeah. 10 days after eating at Margaritaville, they're going to get food poisoning.
You're going to be there and you'd be like, wow, I can't believe that parrots are bringing out the shrimp for my shrimp cocktail. They're flying it in shrimp by shrimp. Incredible.
The idea of parrot waiters bringing your food in their little talons is absolutely something I would show up for.
Yeah.
I would make reservations in advance. Like, I'm there.
I think you should have to sign more waivers to go to restaurants.
Sweet. Let's move on, I think.
Hold on. Okay. I'm going to bang my gavel. All right, we're good.
Thank
Beautiful.
You. Actually, I'd like to go to a brief recess because I've got a PowerPoint presentation was submitted by Michaela.
Whoa.
They have been studying the cases. This is a year in the court, year of the noble pursuit of justice.
This was not on the agenda.
Yeah, this is from July. So it's the caveat is these are not stats completely updated with the Lou and Zach episode.
Okay.
But
there's
some interesting facts and figures in here.
Okay.
We've tried 82 cases.
Whoa.
Wow.
82 cases have been presented to the court since July of 2020. cases submitted by players, number 47.
Oh.
Submitted by DMs, 35.
Interesting. Huh. I would have thought it was the other way around because I'm always siding with DMs. So
you'll be interested erasing the players, Murph. Yeah.
This is just submitted, Murph, not sided with.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, submitted. So we tried more players submitted by players than DMs. The most common, 69 of them, player versus DM. And only 8 have been player versus player. And there are some that are miscellaneous. Would you guys like to hear some court trends?
Sure. Yeah, this is really fun.
Yeah, it's so meticulous.
Since we're like looking back on the history of it, we should be playing like, I hope you had the time of your life.
Yeah, I'll see if I can get the rights to that. Let me call Billy Joe Armstrong. Uh-huh. Yeah.
If you can, try for a Jimmy Buffett song.
Yeah.
Right. Or a vitamin C. That would be good. As we go on.
That's pretty good.
Yeah.
That's pretty good.
Remember. Yeah.
All right. So of the
cheeseburger
cases...
in paradise. Go on.
Order in the court. Of the cases where overall reasons for the final ruling was stated, raw has been stated as the reason for the final ruling in most cases. That's 24 cases.
Okay.
Wow.
Okay.
So
I think that's honorable, right?
That is,
mean, you got to go to the texts, the documents, the precedents.
Yeah. Right. The overall ruling of the crit has agreed with the guest justices' rulings in all but one case. And you better believe it's Lou disagreeing with us as he ruled for the player.
Are you talking about the DM's judge,
Jake,
Lou Wilson?
Yeah. Jake, you weren't there. I did all bad baby player questions and we fully flipped him.
Yeah,
he turned
he's the DM's judge now, yeah.
Wow. Oh my God, this absolutely needs to be updated. Okay. Jake and Murph are the only ones who have been explicitly insulted in any case submissions. Jake 3 times, Murph 1.
Okay, that's actually not true because when I collected cases when you were gone, Jake, a lot of people insulted me telling me that I couldn't compare to you. And you know what? I didn't fucking read those questions.
Okay. So this, I don't know how this was even tabulated, but it's an incredible slide. You know, the court goes north and south. 1 is ruling for the DM, 20 is ruling for the players.
Of course. Yeah.
And we have all been pinpointed with a number on the die.
Whoa.
On where we sit. The farthest left, the farthest south judge.
Okay.
South being player or DM?
South
DM.
Being DM.
South is DM.
Okay.
It is Justice Axford.
Whoa!
Holy shit.
You want to know why? Huge. You want to know exactly why? Because I am the partner of a DM. So I see what
you
they
see
go
the pain.
Through. So I actually have, even though I am a player, I care more about my partner and what affects my partner. And so I'm always like, don't do that to your DM. They work so hard. And I love my husband.
Aw.
Knock it off. I love Murph.
That,
the old I love my husband defense. We've heard it before.
That's really interesting because I hadn't thought of that because there are definitely times when if a DM is like, trying their best. And usually when they submit the case, I'm usually on their side, but I go in on bad DMs too. Yeah. So I can actually see me being pretty anti DM at times.
Yep. I think that is kind of what happens.
Interesting.
And so Emily sits with a 10.42 and not far off.
I'm just fucking Ooh. Wife guy. I'm wife guy. for wife my guy. DM husband.
Yeah. the next one up is Murph. Justice Murphy with 10.57.
Wow.
So you guys are close.
So we must have been off by just like a case or something.
Yeah. The next, I'm pretty much dead center at 11.14 where I've gotten to rule.
Okay.
You're the bailiff. You're the glue.
Yeah. Caldwell, Justice Tanner, you are 11.23.
Wow.
Siding a little more with the players. Mm-hmm. And then, of course, we have stats for the guest justices.
Oh, rad.
Not from the last episode.
Outdated stats, though.
Yeah.
Justice slipped, but I do want to know how far he fell.
Justice Oyama is just above Caldwell with a 12, and Justice Wilson has a 17.5.
That is different now.
Yeah, we got him like eight
Although
in a row.
He did weigh in a couple more. He like really, really tried to... really
the first episode
stay player but yeah. then once we got to the short rest episode
wow all right yeah. so now we've I can end this with a couple personal trends. This is some interesting stuff too.
Oh, okay.
Justice Axford has requested more information about a case to make a ruling the most and has also abstained the most.
Well, you want to know why? Because abstaining is often the way to start the most trouble.
Yeah.
It's the way to get me to freak out.
This all comes from like one episode where you abstained like five
times.
Yeah,
good God.
It's like I fully defend the DMs because I love Murph, but then I also abstain to get a reaction out of Murph.
Yeah. Emily knows how to unleash the salt.
And there are two personal trends for Justice Murphy. Wow. Most frequently upset about the final ruling.
I want to get you a trophy that says most upset.
It's so true. Frequently upset.
Frequently upset.
I'm always just yelling.
And you also most frequently present new defenses and comparisons that become court precedents. Namely, the Nightcrawler defense, the Legolas defense, the Grandma defense, Viggo Mortensen precedent, and the Air Bud resolution.
You know?
Justice Tanner has ruled in favor of the plaintiff the least when the crit is explicitly complimented in the case submission.
Whoa.
Susceptible to flattery, okay.
Or the reverse, like when
or the reverse. Oh, it's reverse.
Yeah, because the least. So when the court is compliment, you're not swayed by the.
Wow. In fact, it disdains you. Apparently.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. You spit on the people.
I mean, their honeyed words get in the way of the salt.
And then
the salt must flow.
Bailiff Jake has more frequently ruled in favor of the plaintiff than ruled against them when they have insulted him in a case submission. So I don't know what that says about me, but when they're mean to me, I like it.
I think that checks out for you, Jake.
Yeah,
I think it does.
I've noticed that Murph, as your DM, will do that. Sometimes he'll just be like, Jake seems quiet. I'm going to have an NPC insult him.
And me and Jake are cut from the same cloth in that way. We both like to get razzed.
Yeah. I like to get rowdy. I like to get into it.
Yeah.
So that was it. That was incredible. Thank you, Michaela.
Thank you for that deep dive.
God, that was awesome, Michaela.
We'll have to do an update like that every like few months or something. Yeah. Because that's really fun.
Now that they're tracking,
I feel
it,
like Michaela
really awesome.
Is a officially a crit reporter now.
Oh
yes.
Yeah.
Whoa. Absolutely.
Right? Yeah. Congratulations. She's got like the tiny little keyboard.
Yeah.
Stenographer.
Now let's bring it back. But I will actually be relinquishing my role, graduating to a new one.
Yeah, that's true. That is true. Jake, I'm going to step off. Mm-hmm. I'm going to step off
my seat. So
Justice Careful, it's so high.
Axford is
Emily.
Vacating the bench, which leaves an opening. If anybody has someone to be nominated. To sit.
I don't know if Lou's going to be able to get here so
Zach?
Fast. Yeah.
Well, yeah. I don't think he is.
We haven't had Siobhan on D&D court yet.
We could text her, but I feel like we're all on airplane mode, like, so we probably should just
call Sue's. Get her in here.
You know what? I have a crazy idea. Bailiff Jake. Would you like to step up to the bench here?
I mean, yeah. Murph, are you sure he's ready?
I wasn't expecting this at all.
We have no choice.
think about what you're asking, man.
I know. I had no idea, but I do solemnly swear that I will support and defend the players as well as the DMs against all enemies, foreign and domestic, that I will bear true faith and allegiance to the same, that I take this obligation of my own volition, and that I will well and faithfully embark on this noble pursuit of justice. So help me God.
Yes!
Beautiful. Just want everyone to know I recited that from memory.
Beautiful.
He's not reading it. He did it with his eyes closed.
Okay, so since we were doing this, I had some left over. So I said, Jake, I can hop in as bailiff and maybe they'll let your lowly ass onto my fucking high chair.
Yeah, maybe they'll have to.
By high chair, I mean a baby's high chair at the table.
Emily sits at a little
that's
high chair.
What my, yeah. That's
it'll
what
be perfect.
Sitting at.
I will throw a tantrum.
From Kevin A. to the Honorable Justices and Bailiff Axford, if it may please the court, I submit my case of the discouraged cleric. In our Pathfinder game, we recently got into a discussion about who should foot the bill for spells like resurrection and restoration, where there is a material component cost. As the cleric, I use my loot to buy upgrades to help my party, but having to buy diamond dust worth 100 to 1,000 gold pieces or 10,000 gold pieces diamonds for the spells is a lot. I think the person who needs the spell should reimburse for the components. One of my team members said if I should change my alignment to evil, then I could do this. It was suggested that going forward, 10% of the party's funds go towards this. But I also think that penalizes the whole party when some members don't use the spells. Also, the ones who are reckless and just charge into a room or leave the group might think twice about it. What do you think? Should the cleric have to foot the bill, the individual member who needs the spell, or should the whole party chip in? Thank you for your consideration. I am hoping Emily, having played clerics in the past, will have some helpful insight.
Wow. But now you're the bailiff. Yeah. What can you win?
That's true. I can't. Yeah. I can't.
Wow. But truly, what is this campaign that they're...
I think it's a really funny question.
No, it's definitely a very funny question. It's just, just to get all into like the group finances is very funny.
The funniest part is the people being like, nah, I think the cleric should.
Yeah, that's wild to me.
That's insane. Although,
I will say, I don't think I'm on anyone's side here because I think I'm against whoever thought that the cleric should foot the bill because that's fucking ridiculous. Mm. Like, you're the person is already playing a cleric. God bless them. They're there to heal you. They're going to help you out. They're going to bring you back to life. Be nice to your clerics. But I will say the resolution that they came up with sounds like what it should be, which is that everybody should just pool their money together and buy these spell components. The idea that you have to pay for your own resurrection is kind of weird.
I think it's kind of funny, though. If someone did like a really stupid move, the idea that you would resurrect them and then the entire party would be like, you owe us a fucking diamond.
We get cash for what you did.
Just Venmoing people a Venmo request.
And then that fucking player who like made a stupid move has to like fucking hustle.
This is literally the healthcare system. The healthcare system.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Right. I never go down. Why should I fucking prop you up?
Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, but the clerics aren't the government. They're still just another person.
Right.
No,
yeah,
where is that's what I'm saying. Where is the government? Where is the DM in this?
That's true.
Like, the DM. I think
they just think it's fun to do the nitty gritty of it. Make them, you know.
Yeah, I worry. I think that there's an absentee DM, or maybe they don't know this is happening.
Whoa.
I think that, the DM should introduce very expensive ambulances, which can heal you, but it's going to cost you a lot of money. And I think that's really going to make people think twice.
I do think that DMs, though, should step in these moments, though, and like notice when, you know, a cleric or a druid or somebody, when people are using all of their abilities and all of their downtime and everything to help the party, when meanwhile fighters are finding like cool swords and shields and armor and shit, oftentimes these support classes are neglected and you do need to kind of go out of your way to be like, I'm gonna leave a cool fucking mace for the cleric. I'm going to put things specifically in my games to reward the support players, because the stuff with fighters, paladins, all that stuff's going to come naturally. It's so easy to just throw like a +1 sword in the game. But it's a little bit harder to reward clerics and stuff like that. And I think what we've got here is we've got an embittered cleric for a good reason. I think it's crazy that the player...
I think it's so insane that the other players were like
it's
you
on
should
you?
Pay for my resurrection.
Yeah. Right. Yeah, absolutely. That, go fuck yourself. Yeah.
Yeah. They were forced to take an insane position because they didn't want to pay.
Exactly.
Like,
right.
But like, this shouldn't be a problem at all because no one wants to pay for this stuff.
Right.
But like, now that they have to, it's like, well, I don't want to do that. I just like swinging at shit.
Yeah.
But as somebody that is... mostly plays fighters and is constantly getting resurrected, I can't imagine also being like, thanks for that, but I'm gonna also need you to pay for it. That's entirely on you.
The component's not on me for this, right?
It's also crazy to think of like Hard One having to take on jobs to pay back Bev for Revivify and Moonshine for Reincarnation, though.
Yeah. But I agree with Jake that this cleric got put into a crazy position by people being like, yeah, I think you should foot the bill.
Right. But it's also like it's a fun thing in roleplay in D&D that like when people bring me up, I'm like, oh, I'm indebted to you. That brings us closer.
Yeah.
Like
exactly.
I appreciate that, or I owe you like at least my thanks. But to be like, that's your fucking job. You didn't do anything except what you were supposed to do.
I found my sword in the woods.
That was your big moment.
to be clear, I am with the cleric on that part, but the fact that it goes on, it's like we came to this resolution that we're just gonna split the loot and have it go towards some of it go towards components.
You should pool all your funds.
That's exactly right. It's actually kind of crazy to me, like reading between the lines here and being like, oh, these players all sit here and are like, I have 50 gold, you have 30 gold, you have 20 gold, you have 8 gold. That means that I can buy a nicer thing than you, and we're not gonna. I've never played in a campaign where we don't just pool our resources.
Yeah, we pool everything and we try to get rich. We go to the casino.
Yeah, we try to get rich together.
Well, that's the fun part about like a shopping trip in D&D is being like, all right, we have this much gold. Who needs what? Yeah. Like you're all together on it,
right? Yeah, I don't think we've ever on our podcast talked about money in terms of like, this is what I personally have. It's all, every time we say an amount, it's like, that's what I can contribute to the pot over the funds.
So I think like Kevin A, like first off, like I'm totally on your side. They shouldn't have asked you to foot the bill. That's insane. But you should like try and start introducing some more like communal property vibes.
I
will say, I'm wondering if the other players or the other DM are just crazy because that does happen. But I'm also trying to read between the lines here a little bit because they say, said, like, you can charge people for revivifies if you change your alignment. That makes me think that this cleric might have been trying to charge people for revivifies.
I don't think they were.
Okay. All
I right. think they were just trying. I think they got told. I think they were like, hey, how am I? I need to get this diamond. What am I supposed to do?
Right.
And everyone's like, I don't know. It's your spell. You figure it out.
Yeah, no, that's
fine. And then they were like, cool, wait, really? And then I think that they probably brought up like, well, maybe since it's you, since it's you who's like, they probably brought up the option and then someone was like, if you did that, you should change your alignment to evil.
Totally.
It sounds like this cleric is getting gaslit a little bit.
True. I guess if I have to choose between a cleric who's rightfully angry that the other players are asking for the cleric to pay for the
they're not angry, they're specifically discouraged. It's a discouraged cleric.
Oh, if it's discouraged and not angry, then
discouraged is better than pissed.
I think you found the right answer, which is to share the cost amongst everyone, but I understand why you're disillusioned with your party now because they sound maybe like they're crazy.
I feel like we need a full dossier every time we answer one of these questions. I need to see like the crime scene. I need a profile of every player so that I can make a full full opinion. Don't actually do this.
I'm sure you're like 3D 3D little like pictures of each player.
Yeah,
right. We
this
really
is
do need.
Chud.
We need the case from the other players.
Freelance marketer.
I'm walking through the scene with like nano machines are casting holograms everywhere.
It would honestly be awesome to find a deep dive case and literally interview all of the players.
Yes. Holy shit!
Like, oh my god!
Almost like serial,
like legit court, like a real court case.
Yeah.
That would be so fun. really, really hard someday.
Angle on it.
God,
oh
yeah. I've been playing
gosh,
so much
totally
Phoenix Wright lately. I really want this.
A D&D game.
Yeah, good God. That would be awesome. Nothing like giving ourselves more work.
if we do it, we should do it for Cluck Gainbull.
Oh yeah. sweet guys, let's move on to the judgment. I think we're all on the cleric side here. Is anybody on the party side?
On this podcast, we should go ahead and say that everyone in America should have socialized healthcare. I think we should make that declaration.
Yeah, for sure.
And cool.
Fucking awesome.
We're pro cleric. So now we have to sentence the party.
Of course.
Everyone gets healthcare except for them.
Yeah, there you go.
Wow.
Sorry, guys. No more.
Yeah, almost as harsh as when we made somebody go swimming in armor.
Yeah.
Yeah. Definitely did not expect that fucking question to get so political, but
it was in there.
Okay. Next up, we've got Mason L. May it please the crit justices, I bring to you the case of a necromancer who de-meats people. I made the enormous mistake of giving one of my players a bag of holding. Soon after, he began trying to collect corpses to put in it to save for later combat. You know, a necromancer can bring them back. That's okay. Cool. Typical necromancer stuff. Things got bad when I told him the bag has a weight limit.
Right.
And to cut down on it, he started dragging the corpses out of town to de-meat them make them lighter. Then it got even worse when he started looking for the corpses of halflings and dwarves as they would be lighter. He even tried collecting corpses of dead townspeople right after a battle to protect the town. He now kills, collects, and de-meats short people.
What?
Oh, I didn't finish it.
Okay.
This got so brutal. Which is something that the rest of us hate to listen to.
What?
To put an end to this, an NPC stole his bag. Even though it is retrievable, it will be very difficult. I fear I'm in the wrong here for stealing my player's item.
No, you're not in the wrong.
I await judgment and put myself at the mercy of the court.
No one likes listening to it. So why are you playing with this person?
I want to know, like, how audibly everyone expressed their uncomfortableness with the situation, like, at the table. Because, like, this is bad. This is obviously bad. But if everyone's just kind of, like, sitting there uncomfortably, I think you got to call the shit out, is what I'm saying.
I will say it's annoying even when other players at the table are doing something that's not super gross or whatever, but if they do a thing that's, like, their private thing that they go off and do it all the time that takes, like, lots of time is annoying and is a little bit like that problem player thing. So to not only do that, to be like, while everyone else is taking a long rest and waiting for the next day for the adventure, I'm gonna go around and collect fucking corpses and go and like strip the fucking meat off the bones like a maniac. God. Everyone hates listening to it.
I guess so. The thing is, like, this is potentially a fun conflict. Like, this person's gonna get caught.
They
like,
did though.
Nobody
they got
likes
their bag
that
taken.
Doing this
for sure.
Yeah, I mean, they got their bag taken. Yeah, that's the conflict. Yeah.
Oh, I imagine that the necromancer thought that was unfair.
Definitely.
Which,
I mean,
like, hints the court case.
I think you did the right thing, my friend.
Yeah.
I wonder, like, is there like just an out of game solution? Because there's like the in game one is like
true.
Building it into all that, like steal the bag. But like, you could just be like, hey, man, by the
cut
way,
it
it's kind of gross when you do that. Stop.
I think you're upsetting other people.
Right.
Well, yeah, can you just fucking sidebar, a true sidebar, and just be like, knock it off?
And it's like, I don't think it's even tied to, like, their character. I don't think their character is fucked up. It's, like, purely for metagaming purposes, just so that they can have, like, an army of corpses.
Oh, you're right.
Yeah, you're right. I feel like there's a solve here where just like if they just want a bunch of skeletons to command, I think you as the DM maybe need to come up with like a way that they can just like summon this stuff so they don't feel like they need to collect.
That's I was thinking that
corpses.
Too. Like the dwarf daddies. The dwarf daddies that I had that I could like call and I had
just
like three
that you call upon.
There's also like, I mean, you're in a magical world. If you're disturbing this many graves, ghosts are gonna come after your ass.
Yeah, that's true.
There are repercussions.
Yeah, I think this person is playing like way too fucked up of a necromancer. Get rid of him.
Yeah, have a wraith freaking ice their ass.
Especially if they're going off on their own to do this. It's very easy to be like, all right, here comes a bunch of nasty ghosts.
Oh, yeah, like next time you go into a fucking graveyard, there's somebody there that's
it's so easy to catch them. Yeah.
Yeah.
Ooh, they're going off on their own. Yeah.
This is always the problem is like,
You're grave robbing.
I love being a little scamp in a D&D game. It's known. It is a known fact. But I also, I love it when Daddy Murph punishes me for being a scamp.
That's why you scamp. Yeah. You scamp for that reason.
You scamp to get punished.
Exactly.
I think you did the right thing. I think getting rid of the bag of holding fully, it was actually a kindness to everyone else rather than a discourtesy.
Good Lord.
Yeah, it is. It's for the great. It's for the greater good. You have to think about that. You know, you're not wrong to give one person a sour experience who's kind of fucking it up for everybody.
Uh-huh. Right. Yeah. Everyone hating it, and this person continuing to do it for metagame purposes. And also DM, like, read between the lines. If the DM is saying, hey, you actually can't just fucking debone 10 corpses and put them in the bag because the bag has a weight limit, and their solution is like, I need to find smaller people.
Yeah.
No, dude, like, just stop.
Sorry, man. Oh, I meant to say you can't do it just because I don't want it.
Go home. Yeah. I meant to say leave.
I'm feeling this, like the skin on the back of my neck pick up as I'm hearing this DM be like, and you all go to bed for the night.
Oh. Actually, is there a graveyard
nearby?
Actually,
I go out on my own, and I look for corpses.
Cool. Everyone else, I guess you're asleep? Yeah, we're asleep.
Yeah. Okay, so I have a thought for how to punish this player. Because clearly I'm personally siding with the DM.
Yes,
their
of course.
Right to take the bag away.
Oh, yeah.
I'm going
to
abstain.
This person has to eat wings without taking the bones out.
Whoa, that's a death.
Whoa.
Is it death?
Yeah, I mean, definitely. Like, could you just
We've sentenced people to death before.
We have.
No, there's precedent. There's precedent. We've sentenced people to die.
To pass.
Okay.
You could do one. Could do it. One bone.
I'm with Emily. I think you could do it.
What if we grind up the bones and you just have to drink bone juice?
Bone broth. That's
bone broth. Oh, that is that kind of delicious.
Yeah,
yeah.
Bone broth is actually really good. Broth.
Okay. You're only allowed to have bone broth?
What's
for...
a punishment that won't kill
you?
Oh,
beer bong bone broth.
Yeah.
Oh,
that's pretty good. Going A to C on it.
Really gross.
Just because
you could sip on bone broth in the dead of winter, but yeah.
I am impressed.
Making a
beer bong scalding hot. Fresh off the kettle.
Always ends a death. Always ends a death.
You guys are too soft.
You're not allowed to put turmeric in it because turmeric would really make that bone broth sing. You're not allowed to put turmeric in.
Okay.
Hey there, Nadpoles. This episode is brought to you by Aura Frames. Are you looking for the perfect gift to celebrate the moms in your life? Well, look no further. Aura Frames are the beautiful Wi-Fi connected digital picture frames that allow you to share and display unlimited photos. It's super easy to upload and share photos via the Aura app. And if you're giving an Aura as a gift, you can even personalize the frame with preloaded photos and memories. My mom, my mother-in-law, and my grandmother-in-law all have Auras from me, and they love them. So from grandmothers to new mothers, aunts, and even the friends in your life, every mom loves an Aura frame, named the best digital photo frame by Wirecutter and selected as one of Oprah's favorite things. Trademark, brother. Aura frames are guaranteed to bring joy to moms of all ages. They're easy to set up. They are the perfect gift, and they've got unlimited storage, unlimited photos and videos. You can invite as many people as you want to a frame. There are absolutely no hidden fees or subscriptions. How beautiful is that? And right now, Aura has a great deal for Mother's Day. Listeners can save on the perfect gift by visiting AuraFrames.com to get $30 off plus free shipping on their best-selling frame. That is Aura, A-U-R-A, Frames.com. Use the code PAWPAW at checkout to save. Terms and conditions apply. Thank you, everybody.
Howdy, Nadpoles. Caldwell here with a very important question. Do you like spending money? I sure do. Every time I give away my money, chances are good I'm going to get something I want in return. It's a pretty sweet deal. But sometimes I find myself paying for things I'm not even using. And when that happens, I end up having less money in my bank to spend on things I do want. Ridiculous, right? Luckily, Rocket Money is here to help. Rocket Money is a personal finance app that finds and cancels your unwanted subscriptions, monitors your spending, and helps lower your bills so that you can grow your savings. Rocket Money has over 5 million users and has saved a total of $500 million in canceled subscriptions, saving members up to $740 a year when using all the app's features. So stop wasting money on things you don't use. Cancel your unwanted subscriptions by going to rocketmoney.com/pawpaw. That is rocketmoney.com/pawpaw. One more time, that's rocketmoney.com/pawpaw. That's it for me. Thanks for listening and happy savings.
Next up from Drew F. May it please the justices and supreme bailiff, we had some downtime in our quest to stop a dragon cult, so I asked to spend a week hanging out with a friendly dragon to learn Draconic. Cool. Our DM said in a week I could only learn to recognize when Draconic is spoken, to which I respectfully disagreed. I felt that in 7 days of 12-hour language tutoring from a gold ancient dragon, I'd be able at least to understand and speak some Draconic. I accepted the ruling and just bought a ton of comprehend language potions instead. In a world full of magical bullshit, was I wrong? Was I wrongly punished for trying to learn a language the hard way?
Ooh.
Yeah, I think the DM was over the line because, look, man, if you take 7 days of hard studying a language, you will know some words, you will be able to read some stuff, you definitely won't be able to speak it. I think being able to be like, I can speak a little is wrong. You'd be able to say
You're
your name,
right.
You'd be able to you know, say a few things, you'd be able to like
because
memorize
we can
phrases
learn, but like also like a dragon's mouth is so different
that
like we might not be able to pronounce their words because we wouldn't have that cute forked tongue. We wouldn't have smoke to sort of accent our words with.
But for the purposes of like trying to infiltrate a dragon cult or whatever, you could learn lots of key words. You could learn spells. You could learn what to look out for.
Yeah.
I think you were done dirty because you can
actually and Draconic is a language that anyone can speak. So in the world of D&D, Draconic can be spoken by anyone.
Yeah. Yeah. I think they could definitely ask the dragon cultist where the bathroom is. I think they could learn that much.
Yeah, certainly.
Pero ir a la baño. Yeah. It's still fucking hardwired in me.
A picture saying that, but smoke comes out your mouth.
Wait, am I missing something? Like, did this DM let this person do this for 7 days and then didn't let them do it?
I think they asked. Like, they were like, can I spend 7 days learning Draconic? And they were like, no. So then they just went and bought comprehend language potions.
I see. All right, great. I thought it was like, you know, like in when we were in Bohemia and you like spent day after day in the library.
Yeah.
Like that. I thought it was like that, like day after day in the library. Then you go to speak and they're like, you don't know it. That would
Oh, yeah. That'd be bullshit.
That would have been fucked up.
That would at least be really brutal.
I think it's a less egregious offense in that case.
Yeah.
While
for
I don't
sure.
necessarily agree, I think that it's like flippant. It's a flippant mistake.
Yeah.
We rule on this a lot, but I think that this is ignoring a very common tool that the DM has at their disposal, which is just to make an ability check. Like, if you want it to be hard, you know, you can obviously make them do, like, intelligence saves or something like that. Maybe their throat gets really raspy from trying to master the language. I don't know. I just think that, like, the die is there for you to use, my friend. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you should just be doing checks every day, and then that determines kind of how much you've learned and everything. And I think no matter what, I mean, the idea that you would spend 7 days and all you could do with that is know if someone's speaking Draconic. Like, I can hear, if someone played me a YouTube video of somebody speaking a language, I could sit there for 5 minutes, watch it, and then from then on, I would know what that language sounded like. You know what I mean? You don't need fucking 90, 100 hours of study to figure that out. I do. Mm-hmm. I understand where the DM's coming from, where they're like, I don't want to let you learn a language in a week. But you can, I mean, people learn languages in months, in a year, in under a year. So the idea that you wouldn't be able to learn like some key phrases, especially when you've got this goal in mind, right? Like, you're going after a cult, so presumably you would have things you were looking for.
Yeah. And it's also, it seems like buying the comprehend language scrolls accomplished the same thing. So I'm a little confused as to why the DM wouldn't allow for this like cool little week retreat with a dragon. I want to hang out with a dragon. That sounds great.
Maybe they were just like, I don't want to take a week. Maybe they were just trying to expedite.
Maybe. Could be
Could
true.
Have been just trying to expedite.
Yeah. No, the sound, this sounded cool. I like your instincts, and I think your DM should have rewarded you a little bit more. You should have been able to, like, you know, read certain words and know certain phrases and stuff.
Yeah. You should have been able to Duolingo with this dragon.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Imagine sitting to a Duolingo for fucking 12 hours a day for 7 days. You'd know some stuff. Yeah. You would know a little bit. Yeah.
And it's like also like immersion too. You know, like you learn languages so much more. That way.
Especially if you're like hanging out with this dragon and like you're at like a nice cafe with the dragon and like the dragon orders an omelet and then you like kind of internalize what the dragon says to order the omelet or something like that. Yeah. I just think there's like a lot of opportunities for immersion if you're hanging out with a dragon.
You should
for a
be
week.
Able to ask where the bathroom is and order an
omelet. An omelet in Draconic, yeah.
I think that the issue here is that like clearly the ritual is going down in the cult's biblioteca and
nice.
And if
pull.
They knew Draconic, they would know where the biblioteca is, and then that's an instant solve.
Sweet guys, so we're all on the player side here, right?
No, I abstain.
We can do a gentle sentence.
You abstain?
Yeah, I abstain.
Why?
Whoa,
I don't know.
Okay. Abusing your power.
Wow, you've lost.
Yeah, I've never gotten to do that.
Absolutely, all of the goodwill that you gained from the last sentencing, you've thrown it away.
Yeah. I didn't realize that we had raised a maverick to our stand.
Good
my
Lord.
God.
I'm taking Justice Axford's seat. I need to bring
you
some chaos.
To abstain randomly.
Justice Axford, more like Justice Abstinence.
Nice.
Slam. That gets a gavel.
It's so gross. I really just said that because it's really gross.
Yeah.
Justice Abstinwitz.
Okay, so we are on the player's side here.
Yeah.
I think that the DM has to do Duolingo every day for 7 days for 12 hours and then is not allowed to use it because apparently that doesn't work, right?
I think you have to do it, but you have to do it in your own language so you're not learning shit.
Oh, I love that.
You just have to read a phonics book.
Yes. Oh my God.
That's so funny.
Okay. Having to do Duolingo for your own language.
Oh, so boring.
Brutal.
What a waste of time.
next up, Matteo C. May it be most pleasurable to the court. The wizard in my campaign wanted his familiar to be a government-issued pet rock named Rocky.
Okay.
This works pretty okay, but he also wants Rocky to be able to do traditional familiar things like give the help action and scout for the party. I said that despite being your familiar, Rocky is still a rock and cannot act on his own volition. This was fine until he attempted to turn his familiar into a living bird for a scouting mission, and I said you turn Rocky into a bird-shaped rock. He protested and agreed to bring it to the court. Was I wrong for treating Rocky like a rock and not a rules as written familiar? I actually think that if they tried to cast Fine Familiar again and get a bird instead, they should have gotten a bird.
Yeah.
Yeah. A stone bird that can fly? That's cute as hell.
I'm gonna say
that's cool.
As much as I respect that you want to punish silly shit, as much as I respect that. You got to nip this shit in the bud early. You should have, if you were going to like not allow them to do anything with this rock, it shouldn't have been allowed.
Mm-hmm.
It sounds like Matteo was very much not on board with this idea, but just allowed it anyway. And just if you really don't like something, you can just be like, no, I'd rather, is it okay if we don't do this? This is a little too silly for this world. I think it's going to break immersion. I don't want this. And then on the flip side, this player wants to be able to have their cake and eat it too. In a way, they're like, no, it's fine. It'll just be a rock. And then they want to be able to have a familiar as well. But I think like ultimately, a character's familiar should be able to do whatever it says in the book. There are elementals. There are constructs. There's kind of no reason a rock couldn't walk around, like if you're magic. Like,
I think my feeling is if they're using the Find Familiar spell, then I think I think it's like, let it be a rock, but be like, okay, so which of the familiars that you can summon, like which stat block are you using?
Yeah,
for
The key here is to either be like, I'm not okay with this, please don't do this, or to just describe it cooler than what the player described it as. So the player's being like, oh, I want a pet rock. And you say, cool, yes, Rocky is
a little
little
tiny rock.
is this little rock elemental who follows you around. And then
also
it's
such a cute moment if, like, at first he's just a pet rock, and then when he goes to do something, he, like, sprouts little legs, like those rocks that you fight in Breath of the Wild. Sorry, Breath of the Wild.
No,
the time,
that's rad,
quite frankly, it's my comfort and joy.
I think it holds water here. It's a one-to-one. And the, oh, those rocks are cute. Sometimes they got gems on them.
Yeah.
It sounds like the court moves ever south. We're north. God damn it. I'm never going to fucking
get it. Yeah, we're
never
going to get this.
North.
Yeah.
North. Towards the 20. Towards the player.
North. Towards the light.
Well, you should have just said player and DM instead of adding two
player leaning.
No.
Must
be shrouded.
Yeah.
How dare you go against the laws of the land?
I will say somehow I have been ruling with a lot of silly players lately, as much as it kills me.
We're growing on you, man.
We're
not.
It's silly players are absolutely not growing on me. I just can't go against the books. I'm sorry.
I wish you could have seen the grimace Murph made at government issued rock familiar.
The fact that it's
it was definitely a mouthful of salt. A mouthful of salt.
Mateo, I love you, but I gotta rule against you here. I think you could have made it a little rock elemental. We're not allowed in the first place if you didn't like it.
Always another option with a rock. Secretly an egg. There you go.
Sure.
Sure. Okay. Secretly a bird egg.
And that's why you should try to bite every single rock you come across in the wild, because it could always be a hard
It could always
egg.
Be an egg.
Try to make an omelet with every rock that you find.
That's a punishment right there. Rock omelet.
Turn your rocks into omelets, guys.
What are other people's rulings here?
I'm going with the player, because I think I'm not fucking going with anyone. I'm a stupid little ballot.
Whoa, hey,
ballot.
Whoa, there's nothing. It's an honorable position. Esteemed bailiff.
Yeah.
Also, climb up here and say
Jake,
that.
Jake weighs in.
Yeah, I weigh in. That said, I might abstain this
what?
Round. I'll see how.
Jesus.
What?
Dude.
You're fucking fishing.
He's demoted.
For a trend.
He's...
You're fishing
no.
for Michaela to give you a trend.
Caldwell, dude. Vote to strip her Justice Irwin.
I don't think
position.
I should be talked to like that, bailiff.
Jake, I'm so sorry to do this, but I'm gonna have to push you out of the high chair.
Yeah.
Whoa!
Emily, get back up here.
Oh!
Emily, come back up.
I climb back up and put my feet through the little high chair thing and wait for Caldwell to mash up some avocado for me.
The avocado is browned. I hope you like banana.
All right, Justice Axford's and Tanner, are you guys for the player here or for the DM?
I'm going for player. I agree that like I can understand the DM's, like, I don't know. I think I honestly think it's kind of cute. And find familiar is a spell, and I love the little rock elemental idea. So I'm siding with player.
I just think it's so cute for like your normal rock to like turn into something more magical. I think that's like really sweet. I think this is the DM needs to step it up. You didn't do a bad job, but I think there's room for improvement.
Or this rock happens to be from like some kind of meteorite. It like got chipped off of some kind of meteorite. So it's actually fucking an alien rock, my friends.
Holy shit.
Oh, yeah. What's inside there? Oh, it's green goo. It's got a little green goo legs.
Wow. And I'm going to say, you know what? As punishment, I like Mateo, because Mateo's trying to shut down the silly shit. And I appreciate that. It really kills me to rule against you. It really kills me to rule against you. I'm going to say your punishment is having to play with this pet rock person. You're already living in hell.
Sometimes life is punishment enough.
Yeah.
I think that your punishment is going out to coffee, not even breakfast, with Murph and having him... just watching the pain in Murph's face as he has to rule
as
against
I
you.
As I regretfully rule against you. My God.
A dressing down
from
Murph.
Yeah, I have to talk to you about how much I actually am okay with the pet rock idea.
I love it.
While I bite my lips so much that it's bleeding.
And I'm in the background being like, I actually love it, and I think it should be from outer space.
I have a mouthful of eggs and I say, green goulags.
Space rock, space rock, space rock.
All right. You know what? Let's go ahead and do one more case. off the bench, I guess we're back.
I'm back in my high chair. I've got avocado all over my shirt.
Oh my God. What a fall from grace.
Can we turn to our fallen angel?
I had it all.
I can't believe you abstained twice out of three times.
Icarus touched the sun.
I've never seen someone shy away from responsibility more.
Instantly too stressed out to move.
Yeah, no, I'm just not really going to weigh in here. Hate to kick up any dust. So instead of one final case, I actually have a submission for a D&D confession, Dice Christ confession.
Ooh, okay. Praise Dice Christ. We will absolve you of your player sins or DM sins.
We really don't separate church and state.
Yeah,
here,
exactly.
So
no, they're completely intertwined.
Dive right in.
We all love Dice Christ. It's problematic.
Universal healthcare, but no separation of church and state.
It's weird.
Our politics.
You can't
are
pin
fucking
us down. You absolutely.
We make our own rules.
Confusing.
Yeah.
Okay, this one comes from Dave, a.k.a. Burner, and they write, "Forgive me, Dice Parish, for I have sinned. It has been 15 years since my last confession. Here are my sins. I routinely use unbalanced Magic the Gathering life counters as D20s. It usually works in my favors, but I always doubt the legitimacy of the results. Last but not least, when my players forget their dice, I have in the past deliberately given them a poorly balanced set of my own. It has never burned any players, but I know what I did."
Praise Dice Christ.
Praise Dice Christ,
because this is quite the sin to forgive.
And twofold.
Dice Christ so loved the world that they gave seven little dice from their body.
it's a little bit of a reach, my friend.
Maybe we should separate church and state.
Justice Tanner, please remove yourself from the court. No, I'm just kidding.
Okay, here I go. Ah!
The bailiff can't remove you because I'm now a choir boy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, Dave, a.k.a. Burner, you have sinned, but Dice Christ forgives all sinners.
Indeed.
Okay?
And dice are dice in Dice Christ dies.
Exactly. The Magic the Gathering die aren't actually going to roll that unfairly, I don't think. Although you know that you have sinned in your heart. You know it.
You sinned and you need to stop doing it. You need to stop doing it.
Cut it out, bud.
Knock it off. Yeah. Cool it, pal.
You have to cool it.
Knock it off. You are fucking forgiven.
You're absolutely forgiven.
We forgive you, but knock it off.
And then the dice that you're giving to your players that are unbalanced, that is perhaps an even graver sin because you're giving them false hope.
Right. You're forgiven, but knock it off.
Dice Christ giveth and Dice Christ taketh away. When we roll the dice, we are giving our fates over to Dice Christ. If Dice Christ wants us to roll high, then we will roll high. If Dice Christ wants us to roll low, we will roll low. And we must give in to Dice Christ's will. That is the only way to get true forgiveness and celebrate the true randomness at the table.
Indeed, indeed. Truly, truly.
And with that, court and church are
donuts will be served in the cafeteria.
And with that, let's go ahead and go out with the beautiful music of an angelic choir. Thank you all so much for listening. We'll be back next week with an episode of Eldermorn.
Go with our blessing.
And a short rest after. Go with Dice Christ.
Go with Dice Christ.
Go with Dice Christ.
Justice is served. Dungeon. It's the end of our show. Court is adjourned, and that means it's time to shout out our benevolent Council of Elders. Here we go. Brad D., Jeffrey S., Haldor Frostback, Steelbreaker, and Matt M. A flock of rockbirds. They began their life as pet rock familiars, then all hatched and took to the skies, leaving their owners totally stranded in the middle of a huge fight. Beautiful. Nature is healing.
Jordan DJ, Cutter W, Jibe G, Dylan B, and Schubert the Mushroom. Adventurers whose psittacosis became so advanced they developed a rare condition known as parrot head. Now they're on a quest to find the only thing that can cure their affliction. A sandwich made by Pelor himself. The cheeseburger in paradise. Delicious. Danielle the Dastardly Dame, Andrew M, Beardman Dan, Scott D, and Danny P. The carpenters who crafted Justice Axford's judicial high chair. The design is impeccable, but Justices Tanner and Murphy really wish she would stop dropping Cheerios on their heads. They're surprisingly heavy. Mixologist Michael McD, Vincent W, Balnor's Boy, and Andrew B. Clerics of the Blue Cross. For a monthly fee, they'll resurrect your party whenever they fall in battle. Unless you don't hit your 200 HP damage deductible. Then, you're on your own. Justin I, Ragnar Fairdwin, TJ M, the Gnome Barbarian, Elena M, and Trele the Crayfay. Statisticians who attempted to calculate the amount of unrelated tangents the justices discuss during an average court case, but gave up 5 minutes into the discussion of parrot fever. Fair. Jared E, Austin Bonesaw MR, Daniel R, cyborg version of Josh the Kobold, and Gage M. The makers of Dracolingo, an app that is guaranteed to teach you Draconic in 1 month or less. How does it work? Simple. If you ever skip a lesson, your phone breathes fire at you. Wow. Philbert the Fabulous, Richard X Machina, Michael L, Trask the Traveler, and Sir Carl. Supreme crit justices that watch the proceedings from the shadows and silently abstain during every case. The only time they talk is to loudly razz Bailiff Hurwitz in between cases. Jory S, Dana G, Callum L, and Jack L. The Dice Christ Choir. They sing beautiful songs preaching forgiveness at the table, which is very impressive considering how full of dice their mouths always are. Wow. Flawless Whale, Sam L, Nicholas C, and Samuel B. A cluster of alien space rock familiars. Each one is based off of a different mineral, and all of them are being sued by Steven Universe for IP theft. Mike H, Udushmaluk, the baby bronze dragon, Matthew E, Colton B, and Adam G. Forensic scientists hired by the Supreme Crit to analyze crime scenes. They're very good at their jobs, but everyone agrees the amount of hair samples they request is borderline creepy. Megan S, Innie Badger, Panama James, and Cummins the Bard. Ghosts currently haunting the shit out of the body-harvesting necromancer. A bunch of them are currently hiding in the bag of holding and are going to pop out next time it's opened. Ha! Classic. Captain Sigil, Grace G, Drew Nasty, CC Lulu, and Barnzenator. Bird waiters at the Justice's local Margaritaville. Luckily, none of them have parrot fever, but all of them have mono? Yeah, it's that kind of Margaritaville, baby. Woo! Michelle O, Timmy R, Jonathan W, the croc-wearing warrior, Lucas B, and Aaron S. People selling Justice Hurwitz Forever shirts outside of the courtroom. When asked how they felt about Jake being removed from the bench, they abstained from responding. It's Kevin, Hard Ones Horschmeat, New York, Stephen C, and KJ. People selling Bailiff Axford for Bay Life shirts outside the courthouse. Upon learning Emily had ascended to justice again, they tossed all their shirts off a bridge and instantly skipped town. Michael M, Mike K, Joy T, Ekathor 666, and Nick W. The printmakers who made all the Justice Hurwitz and Bailiff Axford shirts. They actually cut a deal with Jake and Emily to maximize their profit. The amount of sway they have over the court is honestly troubling. Taylor A, Matthew R, Esme M, Casimir the All-Knowing, and Big Bad Beardo the Mad. Private investigators who are searching for the body-stealing necromancer. But not to put them in jail, they were actually hired by a TV executive who thinks this story could be the next Hannibal. Bold. Eric McD, Giant Monsters on the Horizon. Thrath, Burley T, Jay Dragonborn, Joe Rowe the Inapropro, and Cody B. Doctors in Sarah B's Raven City. They don't have the cure for psittacosis, but that's because they're all podiatrists for the most part. Cody B can mold a mean insult. So comfy. Liam D, the Sandrian. Ben A, Feldanus, and Dave H. Draconic language teachers who are very confident in their teaching prowess and believe that with the right pupil, they could teach someone Draconic in about a year. Oh, sorry, Drew. Koala Bear, Catherine S., David K., Christian S., and Dustin S. Jester Bards who listened in anguish to the crit cases, begging someone to make a joke about the rock bird's poop being tiny pebbles that didn't cause psittacosis, but no justice drew that parallel. And for that, we deeply apologize. Keith K., Connor F., The Time Walker, Two Left Eyes, and Big Bad John. Rock and roll familiars. Maybe not as cute as a tiny rock friend, but at least they know how to party. Connor F. has trashed many a tavern bedroom. DPC is awesome. Aston S., Blair the Bug Blair Barbarian, Porkchop, and Chanel M., Deacons of Dice Christ. Their chief responsibilities include cooking the church dice by leaving them out 20 side up during the full moon, and also pickling any problem dice. Ah, that must be some seller. Velaciraptor, Minette F., Pat L., Achutha A., Lauren H., and David M. Barbarians who each wield a god's hammer and who the justices are constantly hitting up, asking if they'd be down for tradesies for one of their crit gavels. No bites thus far. Elias Hawthorne, Alex H., The Eldest Barry, Evan V., Ryan S., and the Bone Duster. Bruisers who enforce the crit's punishments. Except when the justices sentence someone to death because, as Alex H. says, that's just not cool. Disagree, but okay. Robot Crisps, Yidrasil, Brentley C., Micah B., Bloops, and Carly Ann. Inventors of D&D Venmo called Dunmo, which is perfect for conflict-averse clerics. You can go home after playing and Dunmo your friends for rare gems and spell components. Problem solved. Lori P., Seth A.J., Spam Gaming, the not-so-skilled gamer, Connor Savage, Christopher J. Pebblepot, and Logan S. Lawmakers who are studying the stats of the Supreme Crit and have deduced that Bailiff Jake simply must be ridiculed if their clients want to have the best chance at winning their case. Sorry about that, Jake. You filthy bottom feeder. Leviathan, Demi A, BioQuirt 7, Remington CD, Amber Dextrist, and Thrill of the Fight. Punk rock familiars. Kind of like a pet rock, only they know how to pump out the opening riff to Fat Lip by Sum 41. So, you know, worse in every way. Sullivan H., Trub Hopdropper, Sydney T., Alex C., Jesse DLR, The Element God, and Lindsay W., linguist who learned Draconic in 24 hours. They absolutely should have testified for the plaintiff in today's case. Too late now, though. Champ Wild, Valen, Sprite Pepsi, Carlin C., Anthony S., and Jake. Pirates whose ship contains so many parrots sitting atop people's shoulders that the entire crew suffers from psittacosis. But don't think of asking them to get rid of their birds, cause it's not happening, me hearties. CCA, Matthew J., Tiari P., Michael S., the Bone Duster, and Noah. Bards who work at Margaritaville. The justices and bailiff are very much looking forward to their next vacation, where they will be absolutely joining you in the search for their lost shaker of salt. Epic. Wyatt B., Estelle, Ghost, Rogue Cree, Baron S., aka Sebastian's romance partner from the Baronies, and Mr. Dude Sky. Crunchy Greek life kids who do beer bongs of bone broth instead of Natty Light. It doesn't give you a buzz, but when that scalding liquid hits your lips, oh, what a rush. Conflicted DM, Justin LB, Dandy, Jennifer R, Clifton A, and Richard G. Super rich clerics who don't need your money for their spells, but they still request it because it's just the right thing to do. M. Barber, Marcos P, Puff Kylish, Learns the Balance Druid, Dakota JP, and Pagos, self-proclaimed Fey Prince. Supreme Crit journalists all vying for an interview with the bailiff turned justice turned bailiff again to ask Jake, why did he do that? Seriously, why? Tracy P., the Crick Elf Librarian, Andy E., a very big bed 91, Holly, and Anthony A. Non-biased Crit Room attendees who applaud Bailiff Jake for abstaining. Sometimes it takes courage to not take a stand. Not most of the time, but sometimes, very rarely. Leia C, Timothy H,
Egg,
Sloth King 777, Cal S, and Commodore Galaxy. Crit room jurors who were dismissed for a lunch recess 2 months ago and never called back. They have been trapped at an all-you-can-eat buffet for 60 days. And that's why you always respond to your jury duty summons for Dungeon Court. And that is all of our shoutouts. Thank you so, so much for listening. If you would like to join the Council of Elders, you can do so by going to patreon.com/nadpod. We hope you enjoy this episode, and we'll see you soon. Bye-bye.
That was a HeadGum Podcast.